don't want to encourage piracy.
What they should go after is the pirates, I guess.
Fuck the SEC. Don't get mad because I say it. Don't get mad if they play it. Turn the radio if you don't like it.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio.
Come on, man. Let me feel it now.
Does anyone around here still have a radio?
I am a pirate. I should be arrested, jailed, or fined.
It's Sunday, April 9th, 2006.
Almost live from the Fuking Ionosphere, it's the Pirates Week with Ragnar Danisjold.
And do we have a show for you today? This is Ragnar Danisjold, and you are listening to The Pirates Week, a podcast serving the shortwave pirate radio community. We take a look into the past week's pirate activity, what's going on over at the Free Radio Network, an odd tech tip or two, general free radio and DXing news, the propagation forecast, throw in a little pod-safe music in the background, and it's The Pirates Week. Well, this show started off whatever I stumbled across in the course of a week. Different audio blurbs from This Week in Amateur Radio or DXing with Cumbre or World of Radio, Glenn Hauser's great program, any other DXing radio programs I had come across. I kind of clipped out all the different audio segments that was relatively concerning pirate radio, and that's kind of how this program started off, and it has evolved a bit. This is the Pirates Week, and we have an awesome, awesome show for you today, and next week is going to be even better. Stick around towards the end of this broadcast, and we will be making a major announcement. But let's get into, well, before we get into the pirates in the news, I do have a couple things I want to cover in the free ramble. First off, WBNY. He has a few shows that are broadcast quality that you can download from my website at shortwavepirate.info. Head on over to the audio downloads segment of the website and you will see the studio quality pirate files. Go to the WBNY area and there are two new shows that you can download that are broadcast quality. The first one aired a week or so ago. That's the WBNY April Fool's show that everybody heard on the Pirate Bands. And the next one is the new WBNY Easter program that will be probably airing quite a bit in the next week or so. Both of those are you can download from the website, shortwavepirate.info. Go to the audio downloads section and then the WBNY section and take a look at those. That's definitely some good programming. Also, we have a new ID bumper coming up a little bit later in the program. Tim, a.k.a. the Golden Voice, was kind enough to provide us a new ID, and he was found at the Radio Daddy website. Radio Daddy, your home for free IDs. Take a look over there. We have been using Radio Daddy off and on for a while. It's a great resource for a pirate op who wants to get a bit of a free professional bumpers and sweeps and all kinds of good stuff like that. Now, I want to do a bit of an update on something we covered here last month. I gave out a request for a group of guys who were doing a documentary movie on the linoleum tiles that were placed around the country and even worldwide. There seems to be a shortwave pirate connection, and these guys would really like to talk to anybody who remembers the station or received a QSL. Well, there seems to have been some recent development in the search, so I want to put out another request for all you pirate listeners who may have heard these broadcasts back in the 80s. Search your minds and your archives for anything that has to do with Marasco or the Minority Report. These QSLs may not be in a standard format, but a kind of a stream of consciousness type of rambling written out. If you have any info at all or are just curious about it, stop by their website at www.resurrectdead.com. Okay, let's get into Pirates in the News. Well, this week we only have two very quick news stories for you. The first one is from India, of all places. This from the Asia Media News Daily. Help pours in for pirate radio. Apparently, an enterprising young man in India who set up a pirate radio station for just, get this, $1 has won fans at home and abroad. When the government shut down Mr. Rahamato's radio station in Bihar after he failed to pay a licensing fee, help is now pouring in from overseas, this newspaper reports. FM Mansurpur, named after Mr. Mahato's home village, was set up 3 years ago using bits and pieces from his electronics repair shop. The station, which has been beaming popular programs, including Bollywood music, enjoyed a loyal clientele from around his town. Trouble for Mr. Mahato's station last month started when the district administration directed officials to find out if he actually had permission to broadcast. The annual fee for a license, about 400,000 rupees, that's about 14 grand, money which, of course, Mr. Mahato could not raise. He was then forced to sign a bond promising not to go back on the air. Indian expats from around the world are now offering him money so he can pay the licensing fee and get his little low-power FM station servicing his community back on the air. The second news story is really not a news story as much as a heads-up for all you people over in South and North Carolina. CarolinaCon 2006 is now calling for speakers and papers to be presented for their convention, which will be June 9th through 11th. CarolinaCon is a gathering of phone freaks, hackers, and they're also looking for speakers on pirate radio. You can check out their website at www.carolinacon.org, CarolinaCon.org. May be interesting if you're in the Carolinas and that part of the country to see what's going on there. And really, that's all of the pirates in the news.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
Well, I'm going to change how I do some of the postings here. I still will go through the postings of note on the Free Radio Network, but I'm going to pare them down a bit and just read a few of the better ones. I also am going to start mentioning some of the stations that have been heard on the shortwave bands in this last week, as noted on the Free Radio Weekly, and also who has been sending out QSL reports. So let's get right into the FRN, frn.net/vines, starting with the Grapevine Pirate Shortwave. Doctor Who asks, how would a solar eclipse affect transmission? If you remember, we had a solar eclipse last week, or 2 weeks ago now. Bouncer replies that the eclipse itself shouldn't affect radio propagation at all. Of course, I.O. had his own ideas on the subject. KIP fan posts, looking for a little help. He is attempting to put together a tribute site to KIPM. Anybody who has studio copies or really good recordings from off-air, as well as any QSLs from KIPM, he would really appreciate it if you would email him at shortwavepirate@gmail.com. Now, that's very close to my email site. That's not me, of course. I have shortwavepirate.info. That's my website. And my email is piratesweek@gmail.com. But go ahead and email KIPM fan@shortwavepirate@gmail.com if you have any KIPM material. Continuing on, the Decapitator posts looking for clear frequencies on the 22 meter band. 13.630 may be a possible area to start listening for the Decapitator's pirate broadcasts. The Librarian, in his first post on the Vines, makes his case for ops and listeners to start sending him their stories about pirate radio so he can document the pirate radio movement. Bill O'Wright gives a cautionary note that the authorities use tactics like these and to verify the librarian's identity before giving him your information. Taking a look over at the workshop forum, Doctor Who asks if anybody knows what makes a crystal die. He had one that he was working on and suddenly it wouldn't work anymore. And over in the swap shop, QRP posts a link to a 14-watt, 48-meter transmitter for only 75 euro. Snowdog has a Veronica 12-watt stereo transmitter with a DC mains adapter for sale. Make him an offer. He also has a Comet 5/8 wave LPFM antenna. And finally, on the 11-meter forum, HV Transformer notes that for an hour and a half, he had an opening into the South Pacific at about 1600 UTC. As always, I have no affiliation with the FRN other than just a regular reader. And now taking a look at the Free Radio Weekly, stations that have been heard this last week include The Crystal Ship, KBZO, KSUR, Northwoods Radio, Pirate Radio Boston, Progressive Music Radio, Radio Beaver, Radio Pygmy International, Voice of Captain Ron Shortwave, and WBNY. QSLs received this week are from Channel Z, KCBM, The Mule, and Undercover Radio.
Heard you coming on a pirate transmission, coming in through my head, station to station. You're coming in waves, stuttered and broken, and talking about revolution.
Hey everybody, I'm the Pirate DXer. Well, I have a few little clips for you this week. Let's give a listen. First of all, we have WGAR heard April 2nd on 6925 in the upper mode at 1528 UTC. Next, we have Northwoods Radio, heard April 1st, April Fool's Day, 6925 in the upper mode at 2250 UTC. Captain Ron was heard April 2nd, 6925 in the upper mode at 0120 UTC. And lastly, we have Mac Shortwave, heard April 8th, 6950 kilohertz in the AM mode at 2347 UTC.
From 1965, Marvin Gaye and Howdy Dog Song. That's right. This is Paul Starr, and you are listening to the Paul Starr Show right here on NBC. I'm Paul Starr. The hits just keep on coming on the Paul Starr Show on MAC.
Well, that's it for me this week. Hopefully next week I'll have some more recordings for you. So for the Pirates Week, I'm the Pirate DXer. 73, everybody. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
The Pirates Week Podcast, your home for shortwave pirate information. PiratesWeek.info. That's PiratesWeek.info.
Does anyone around here still have a radio?
Yeah, that's the new ID I just got from Radio Daddy. You'll notice I have a new web address. It's the same website. It's just making it easier to get right to the Pirates Week podcast homepage. That's piratesweek.info. Well, it's time now to take a look at some other free radio and DXing news. First up, a new DX podcast is out. That's right, a DX podcast weekly digest is out. You can take a look at the DX podcast at http://dxpodcast.blogspot.com. I'm subscribed for a couple weeks anyways, just to see how they do. This is a podcast devoted to long distance radio reception on the AM broadcast band. In this podcast, we will feature audio loggings and technical subjects to enhance the experience. This is from Brent, VE1JH, in New Brunswick, Canada. So I'll be taking a look at the DX podcast. We also have an audio blurb from Glenn Hauser's World of Radio that real-time solar wind data may be going away. Let's take a listen to Glenn Hauser's World of Radio.
Here's a notice from the Space Environment Center on April 3rd. NOAA announced a call for public comment on the value of continuing real-time solar wind data and products derived from that provided by the SEC. The comment period starts April 3rd and continues for 45 days through May 18th. Public comments will be incorporated into plans to best meet the needs of users. You see, there is no plan to replace NASA's Advanced Composition Explorer satellite when it or the monitoring instruments ultimately fail. It's now the only source of real-time solar wind data. For more background on this, see www.weather.gov/os/space. If you wish to express your opinion on this directly, send an email to solar.wind.comments@noaa.gov.
Well, let's do the website of the week. The website of the week this week is www.irrational.org/sic/radio. Irrational.org, how to be a community radio station. This is a website that gives some basic fundamentals of how to become and set up a FM station for your community broadcasting, to promote neighborhood, community, and open access radio stations, to demystify the art of broadcast electronics, to be a source of high quality technical information, and to review equipment and information available elsewhere. It has a bunch of technical information and reviews of kits. Take a look at it. It's for FM broadcast stations, low power FM. And go ahead and take a look at www.irrational.org/sic/radio. And it's this week's website of the week. Hey, I was just doing the website of the week there when I got an email from the guys over at Radio Intel. Really good, funny comic for radio comics. Take a look at this. I'll put a link of it on the website as well as all the other things I talk about today. The links will be on the website. This is how not to power your radio station. Take a look at it. It's kind of funny. Like I said, it's from the guys over there at RadioIntel.com. Hey, that's a good one. I'll put a link on it on the website. Well, it's time to do the propagation forecast. But before we get into the propagation forecast, the monthly propagation report by Steve Nichols via This Week in Amateur Radio, let's do the monthly forecast report. And then from World of Radio, Glenn Hauser's great program, let's do a quick propagation forecast.
Hello, this is Steve Nichols, G0KYA, with the propagation prediction report for April 2006. Well, this month we're going to look back at March, see what conditions were like there, look to April, see what you're going to be able to work, and later on in the segment I'm going to show you how you can win an important award. But first, let's start with looking at the solar details for March 2006. Well, we had a solar flux low of 72 and a high of 86 right at the end of the month, about right for this time of the solar cycle, but not terribly conducive to good propagation. The geomagnetic A index at middle latitudes hit 24 on the 19th of March, quite disturbed, but it doesn't take much to kill the bands at this point in the solar cycle. This month, things have already picked up, with the flux running at around about 100 for the first week of April, and the A index has remained quite low. As soon as you get around about 100, that's usually enough to trigger some openings on 28 megahertz, and lo and behold, there have been some good north-south openings reported on the DX cluster. Take a look. Now, the propagation forecast for April. Well, we are past the spring equinox now, so those great winter low-band conditions have really gone now, I think. Now, the equinox periods provide longer daytime periods in winter, but logically shorter nighttime periods too. And these tend to be the best months for working north-south paths, such as UK to South Africa, North America to South America. On 160 metres, that's 1.8 megahertz or top band, look for short skip and DX openings at night. Again, no daylight skip is possible due to absorption, but openings out to 1,300 miles and occasionally further afield can be expected at night, with conditions peaking around midnight and again at sunrise, that all-important grey line condition there. 80 metres, 3.5 megahertz generally follow the characteristics of top band at night and will also provide good openings out to around 250 miles during the day. And these will lengthen to around 500 to 2,300 miles at night, with fairly good DX opportunities at times. 40 metres, 7 megahertz should be open to DX in an easterly direction at sunset. Openings to the west should be possible after midnight and should peak just before sunrise. And contacts should be possible during the day, although again the lower critical frequencies may mean it's difficult to work other stations in your neighbourhood, while perfectly possible talk to stations further afield due to the lower angles of radiation. 20 metres, 14 megahertz is likely to be the best DX band, as always, between sunrise and sunset. And the band may occasionally open after dark, mainly to the southern hemisphere. Good openings will be possible during daylight hours, out to around 2,300 miles. 70 metres, 50 metres, that's 18 megahertz, 21 megahertz, again should provide fairly good DX openings during daylight hours, especially to Africa and South America, with 70 metres being open more often than 50 metres. You may find 15 metres open as the flux heads towards the 100 mark or higher. Once again, 15 metres may struggle to open during times of low solar flux, and both bands are likely to close soon after sunset. 12 metres, 10 metres, 24 megahertz, 28 megahertz will continue to be disappointing bands at this point in the solar cycle, unless the solar flux picks up. The solar flux has been heading into the 100 range in the last week, so again, you may find some good openings, north-south openings possibly, and we are fast heading towards the sporadic E season on 10 metres, although I don't think we'll see anything just in April, maybe picking up again in May.
Solar flux has reached the relatively high figure of 105 lately, but there was also a disturbance on April 5th, sending the KNX up to 5 and the MUF downward. The propagation outlook from Boulder issued April 4th. ANK and C stepping to 5 and 2 April 8th to 10th, 12th, and again on the 19th and 20th, 27th and 28th. In between, peaking at 35 and 6 on April 15th. Solar flux dropping from 105 April 7th to 75 on the 12th through 22nd. Up again to 100 by April 26th.
Well, that's about going to wrap up the podcast for this week. I do want to cover a couple things and the big announcement that I had alluded to at the beginning of the show. First up, though, let's talk about Dayton Hamfest. Yes, that's right. The Dayton Hamfest is coming up soon. It is May 19th, 20th, and 21st, so that's, you know, a month away or a month and a half away. That's Dayton, Ohio, of course, and that is the huge 2,500-plus space flea market and exhibits, 500 exhibits. They have the big website, www.hamvention.org, hamvention.org, hamvention.org. Of course, what a great resource to pick up some equipment and to listen to some good forums. So we'll talk about that later as it approaches a little closer. I may actually drive down and attend, or at least kind of go through the flea market and see what's going on down there. Hamvention, it's the Dayton Hamvention that's coming up soon. Also, quickly, I wanted to clear up some confusion I caused when I misspoke a couple weeks ago about one of the stations airing the podcast. DXer Calling is streaming us out of Queensland, Australia. Southern Sounds is now defunct, and HRI, or Hobart Radio International, is run by Rob Wise, who he is actually in Tasmania. Which is all still really cool, because I received a couple emails from listeners from Down Under inquiring about pirate listeners, and Tasmania, Queensland, I mean, you're talking about a part of the world that is completely opposite from where I'm sitting on the planet. Talk about the far side of the planet. In fact, I think I used Google Earth and realized that the other side of the planet for me is Perth. So that's kind of cool. I don't know, you're talking about worldwide reach, huh? Okay, I also wanted to throw out there a request for bits. If you want to have a little piece of this podcast, if you want to do a few minute segment every week or every couple weeks, that's cool. Get a hold of me. Email me at piratesweek@gmail.com. And just like the Pirate DXer, you can have a little part of the podcast. Do your little promo or do your little bit, and I'll definitely include you. The more the merrier. That would be a good addition to this resource. Now, you've all been waiting for it. And may I just add that I am finally keeping this program under 30 minutes. And there's a reason for that. And hopefully, maybe, I can make the announcement why I'm trying so hard to keep this under 30 minutes. I'll make that announcement maybe in a few weeks or in a month or so. But that would be... that's for another time. But I do have a major announcement I wish to share with all of you. If you remember, starting in 2004, a new pirate... or somebody started airing an old pirate, Radio First Termer, Dave Rabbit, who broadcasted his pirate radio show during the Vietnam era. He was broadcasting out of Saigon in 1970. Someone got a hold of his tapes and started airing them about 2004. He did an interview with About.com, Corey Dietz, a couple months ago, and then did a follow-up interview last month, which I covered in the last podcast. Well, I've been in contact with the famous Dave Rabbit, and he has made himself available for an interview. In fact, we talked quite a bit, most of the time yesterday, got a lot of it on tape, and hopefully by next week I can put it all together. I have a great interview with a great broadcaster who brought a lot of happiness and a lot of smiles to the troops back in the Vietnam War. It'll probably take two podcasts. I'll break it up over two separate podcasts to air the interview. It would not surprise me if we will be hearing quite a bit more from Radio First Termer Dave Rabbit on these shortwave pirate radio bands. So keep an ear out for Dave Rabbit, Radio First Termer, the Big 69. So that's about going to wrap up this show. I'd like to, before I leave, I'd like to thank This Week in Amateur Radio, Glenn Hauser's World of Radio, the PodSafe Music Network, and the Pirate DXer. And of course, links to everything that has been discussed will be on the website. And one last big thank you for Dave Rabbit for agreeing to do the interview, which will be posted next week. So until next time, as always, thank you for listening. I'll leave you with this bit from Dave Rabbit himself.
Live from the Ho Chi Minh Memorial Whorehouse and Delicatessen, where our motto is great sandwiches and great whores. This is your host, Dave Rabbit. Hi, everyone. I just got through doing a really fun podcast interview with my personal hero, Ragnar, and he's going to be making it available to each of you on one of his upcoming podcast shows. So mark the date that he gives you. Quit whacking off and get ready for a roller coaster ride from hell. Until then, peace, my brothers and sisters. Peace.
From the Boat Anchor Soft Glow, to your MP3 player via the World Wide Web. We meld the oldest and the newest audio technology. Welcome to the Pirates Week. PiratesWeek.tripod.com.
You are without doubt the worst pirate I've ever heard of.
But you have heard of me.